I'm so glad to be here with you this morning and looking forward to being with you throughout this day. What a great, great time of worship, just to be able to come together and to praise the Lord and to feel His presence in this place. My name's Stephen Rummage, and I serve as the pastor of Quail Springs Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. I've been serving there just for a few months. I came there right at the beginning of March after having served for about 10 years in the Tampa, Florida area. And just as we were worshiping the Lord today, the Lord just brought something to my mind and my heart. I was 25 years old when my wife and I moved from North Carolina, where we're from, and we moved to Louisiana. And I came down here to study at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and then I began serving as pastor almost as soon as I got here. The Lord opened up an opportunity for me to serve as pastor of a church called Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church down in Covington, the Covington area in St. Tammany Parish. And at that church, and through the influence of men at New Orleans Seminary, including Dr. Argel Smith, who's here with us today for this conference, God just worked in my life and transformed my preaching ministry. That was 25 years ago. I'm 50 years old now. God worked in my life in such an incredible way by bringing me to Louisiana, and I'll always thank God for that. It changed my preaching ministry, and even to this day. So thank you for having me here. Brother Stewart, thank you for having me here today. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. This morning, I want to talk to you about open doors for the gospel. Open doors for the gospel. Several years ago, a friend of ours, her name is Anna, she came to Michelle and she said, "Michelle, I want you and Stephen to go with me to an escape room." And so Anna and Michelle are talking to me about this. And I said, "So what's an escape room?" And Anna said, it's a game you play. It's sort of a group problem-solving activity. They lock you in a room and you have 60 minutes to solve a series of clues to get out of the escape room. And I said, "So that's supposed to be fun." She said, "Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun." And she said, "In fact, I've already paid for reservations for all of us to go." I said, "You have to pay to do this." She said, "Yes, you have to pay." But she said, "You'll enjoy it." So I said, "Okay, we'll go." So Michelle and Anna and I and some other friends, we all went to this escape room. The first room in our escape room was made to look like a jail cell. And it looked very realistic to me, the iron bars and all these things. And we found the clues and we solved the puzzles and somehow we got out of that jail cell. And now we're in the next room. That room looks like we're in the basement somewhere. There are pipes hanging down again. We're solving the puzzles, finding all the clues. We get out of that room. We go through a little tiny door, slide down what's supposed to look like an air duct in the air conditioning system or whatever it would be. And now we're in the warden's office. Now the deal is, the warden has gone. And we've got 60 minutes to get out of the prison before he comes back. And so we've gone from the jail cell into that basement area, and now we are in his office. And once again, clock's ticking down, and we're trying to find the clues and solve the puzzles. Eventually, we've got 5 seconds left. I find myself in possession of a pair of wire cutters. We're at this box that controls an electric lock, and I'm supposed to cut the right wire so that we can get out. 5 seconds. My wife Michelle is yelling at me. Our friend Anna is yelling at me, "Cut the right wire." I cut the wire. 2 seconds left. The doors open and we escaped. And as we go out, I discover that I can buy a t-shirt that says, "I escaped." I decided to pass on the t-shirt. I didn't get the t-shirt. But at the booth where they were selling the t-shirts, I noticed that there was this wall of control panels, this wall of video monitors, and those monitors showed every room in the whole escape room, not just the 3 rooms we were in, but every room in the whole complex. And at the bottom of every one of those monitors was a little green box that the controller could click on, and that box said "open." And something dawned on me while we were panicking, while we were trying to find the clues and solve the puzzles, there was somebody in control who had, don't get ahead of me on this, somebody in control who had the power to open every door. I think about what we do to share the gospel with people, what we do to try to
win our communities to Jesus Christ. It seems like we're always trying to find the clues and solve the puzzles. And that's good. But I want to remind you of something. There is someone who sits on high who is in control. And he has the power to open every door. Paul realized that. That's why he wrote what he wrote in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, as he writes these words. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Join with me as we pray. Father, I pray in these moments that you just move me out of the way. And Lord, speak a word of encouragement. Speak a word of truth. Speak a word of challenge and conviction. Lord, just speak a word through your word to our hearts today. And God, we pray that you would open doors for us to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. We'll give you glory and honor and praise for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. And brothers and sisters, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Now, I want us to look at this text of Scripture. And I want you to think with me about several things that Paul talks to us about open doors. The first thing I want you to think with me about is this. Think with me about the meaning of an open door. The meaning of an open door. Notice there in verse 3 of the text, Paul asked that they pray that a door may be opened, that God may open to us a door for the word. Now, an open door in Paul's day was a figure of speech that means the same thing it means in our day. It meant an opportunity. It meant an occasion for something to happen. And specifically, he was praying for an opportunity for the word. The King James Version says a door of utterance to be open to us. Just an opportunity for us to speak, for us to utter the word of the gospel. An open door is God giving us opportunities that we might not otherwise see, that we might not otherwise have, that we might not otherwise take, that God would open up those opportunities for us to share the gospel with others. Now, here's what I've discovered. God has the ability to open doors in ways we never could imagine. And Paul had seen that over and over again in his life. Sometimes he saw God open doors that reached whole new groups of people with the gospel. In the book of Acts chapter 14, the Bible says Paul came back and reported to the church that God had opened to them a door for the Gentiles to hear the gospel. All of a sudden, Gentile people who the Jewish people thought were so far away from God, they could never ever be saved. All of a sudden, God opened up a door. Sometimes God does that. He opens up big, wide doors to reach whole communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God opens up very individual and intimate doors. In the book of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Paul came into the city of Philippi, and there by a river there were a group of people praying, and there was a woman there by the name of Lydia, and the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to the things that were being spoken by Paul. That's how God works. Sometimes he opens up gigantic doors to whole communities. Sometimes he opens up individual, intimate doors to people. But God has the ability to give us those opportunities, even in ways we would not see. In fact, Paul was in chains, imprisoned by the Romans, on his way to Rome. And yet, even though he was imprisoned, God was continually opening doors. Historians tell us that he would have been chained to two Roman soldiers who would have changed shifts every 4 hours. That means that God gave him around 4 different opportunities with different people every day to share the gospel with those Roman soldiers, and they couldn't get away from him. They were chained to him. And then God gave him opportunities to share the gospel and open doors with governors like Felix and Festus and kings like Agrippa and all the way up we believe, to Emperor Nero. Even in his prison chains, God was opening doors. An open door means an opportunity, and God can open those opportunities in ways you would never imagine. Super Bowl 39, 2005, being played in Jacksonville, Florida. The halftime show that year was going to be provided by former Beatle Paul McCartney. And here's what Paul McCartney did not know. There was a group of people led by Southern Baptists who were looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people in the city of Jacksonville who had come there for the Super Bowl. And they were involved in all kinds of things, and they were there even in the days leading up to the Super Bowl. In fact, they were there on Friday when Paul McCartney was doing his sound check for his show. And he's going through his show and he's playing all his songs, and he stops the rehearsal and he looks down, because he not only is he there and his band there, but all the people who were down in the mosh pit. You know what a mosh pit is? People right there at the stage. All the people at the mosh pit who were there, and they're going to be on camera as well during the show. He looks down and he stops and he says, "There's nobody my age in the mosh pit." Now, he was 62 years old at that time. Now he's 77. There's absolutely nobody his age in the mosh pit now. But anyway, he said, "There's nobody my age in the mosh pit." And he says, "I want to see some people my age in the mosh pit, because I don't want it just to be younger people. I want it to be people my age as well." Now, he's saying this, and it's going out over the loudspeaker system on that Friday. What he doesn't know is that there is somebody there as part of that evangelistic effort at the Super Bowl who hears this announcement. And he gets on the phone to the Jacksonville Baptist Association and says, "Can you get me in touch with the leader of the Woman's Missionary Union?" He gets in touch with the leader of the Woman's Missionary Union and says, "Could we please have some WMU ladies to come and be part of Paul McCartney's mosh pit? And by the way, while they're here, they'll have free access to share the gospel with people throughout the Super Bowl." You know what that was? A wide open door. God has the ability to open up those doors. That's the meaning of the open door. Secondly, I want you to think with me about the means of opening the door. How do you get the door open? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly the door is opened by the means of prayer. Look again in verse 2 of the text. The Bible says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door." Let's just stop right there. The Bible talks about how prayer opens doors. Paul was counting on the prayers of God's people to open doors for him to share the gospel. God, who sits on high, opens doors through prayer. Prayer has the power to open the heart of a sinner. Prayer has the power to open doors for sharing the gospel. Prayer has the power to open the zipped lips of a reluctant Christian. Prayer has the power to open up the doors. And notice how he says to pray. Just notice, there's a pattern here. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Three things he says should characterize our prayer. Continue steadfastly. That comes from a word that means to be strong. Be strong in your prayer. Don't give up on praying for someone or for an opportunity that God is putting in front of you. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And then it says also being watchful in it. That means to be alert. You know, when we were kids, they taught us to pray with our eyes closed, and there's a good reason for that. But you know, when you're praying for opportunities to share the gospel, learn to pray with your eyes wide open. Learn to pray looking and expecting for God to open up those opportunities so that you can share the gospel with others. The Bible says praying and being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly, being watchful in it, and then thirdly, with thanksgiving. In other words, as I continue to stay strong in prayer, and as I'm opening my eyes to see what God is doing to answer my prayer, I'm going to constantly be able to give God thanks for the way He is answering my prayer. And then I love what he says as he continues on. At the same time, pray also for us. Think about what a mighty man of God Paul was. Think about how bold he was. Think about how effective he was at sharing the gospel. He still was saying, "I need you to pray for us. And I love the fact that he says for us and not just for me. Because the truth is, Paul doesn't need you to pray for him anymore now. He's with the Lord in heaven. But because he says for us, that includes all of us. I told my congregation, when Paul says pray for us, that means pray for Paul and for Stephen Rummage. Pray for us. I wonder, in our churches, among our pastors, do we pray for one another? Are you praying for the pastors in your neighboring churches as they preach the gospel, as they seek to share Christ with others around them? Are we praying for one another? The beautiful thing is, when you begin to pray for others as they share the gospel, it expands your ministry beyond yourself to everyone for whom you pray. You're a participant in the ministry of everyone for whom you pray. What an incredible thing that is to think about. And the Bible says that as we pray for us, that includes praying for ourselves as well. I'll tell you about a guy named Lee. Lee was a Christian who just became concerned that he really wasn't taking many opportunities to share the gospel with people around him. And so he just began to pray this for himself. He said, "Lord, give me opportunities every day to share and show the good news of Jesus Christ to others." And he prayed specifically for a bagel shop and coffee shop that he went to about 3 or 4 days a week. He said, "Lord, when I'm in that coffee shop, when I'm getting my bagels and there with other people, just open up doors and help me to share and to show the love of Jesus to others." And so he just began to look. He prayed with his eyes wide open, and God began to show him people. One person he showed him was a lady named Barb. Barb came from a Jewish background, but she told Lee, she said, "You know, I'm really just a seeker." And she was interested in spiritual things. She was interested in Christianity, and he had a lot of opportunity to talk to her and share with her the gospel of Jesus Christ, but she would listen and she was interested, but Barb was always non-committal. And one day Lee just said to her, "You know, you can't keep doing this forever. You can't just keep putting off what you're going to do with Jesus. You can't remain neutral about him. One day, Barb, you're going to have to choose." He said when he said that, she gathered up all of her stuff, she became very agitated, and she just ran out of the coffee shop. And he thought to himself, "Well, maybe I said something wrong, maybe I did something wrong." But then he went back over the conversation and he realized he really hadn't. He had shown love to her, he had shared the gospel clearly. Listen, there's always an offense in the gospel. There shouldn't be an offensive presentation on our part. There shouldn't be an offensive personality on our part. But there's always an offense in the gospel itself. An open door, listen, an open door doesn't mean no adversity. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul says, "A wide door has been opened to us, and there are many adversaries." Just because you're facing adversaries and adversity doesn't mean that the door's not open. And so Lee continued to share the gospel and pray for opportunities. And then a guy came into the coffee shop one day. His name was Dimitri. Dimitri had a big backpack with all kinds of books in it. He laid them out on the table there in the coffee shop. And Lee came up to him and said, "I see you like to read." He said, "Oh, yeah, I love to read." And they talked about the things that he read. And then Lee used that as an opportunity to share Christ with this guy. He invited the guy to come to church. And Dimitri said, "Yeah, I'll come to church this Sunday." He came to church that Sunday. And just by coincidence, by the way, have you noticed that when you share the gospel and when you pray, a lot of coincidences start happening? Just by coincidence, there was an evangelist that day in the church presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that day during the invitation time, when the evangelist said, "How many here are interested in learning more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ?" Dimitri raised his hand. He didn't come to know Jesus that day, but in the weeks to come, he did. Why? Because one man began to pray for open doors. Brothers and sisters, let's just start praying with eyes wide open. Lord, give us opportunities to see and to share and to show the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to see as we look at this text, think with me about the message that we take through the open door. The message we take through the open door. We're continuing in verse 3 of the text. The Bible says that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul says, I want to make sure that when I go through this open door, I go through declaring the mystery of Christ. You know, the purpose of an open door is not just for us to have more relationships with lost people, more friendships with lost people that we never share the gospel with. A lot of times we talk about friendship evangelism and we're good at making friends, but we're still not good at sharing the gospel. And so we just have more and more friends that we don't tell about Jesus. Now that's not what Paul said. He said, pray that I'll have these open doors and that I will declare the mystery of Christ. As he describes the gospel here, he calls it the mystery. Now, the gospel is a mystery, but it's not an unsolved mystery. You know, when I read mystery stories, I always like the solution to be in that story somewhere. That's the point of reading it. And the gospel is not an unsolved mystery. The gospel is something that once was hidden, but now has been revealed. And specifically, the gospel mystery that Paul was talking about here is the mystery that Jewish people who seem to be very close to God and Gentile people who seem to be so very far from God all could come to God and be saved through Jesus Christ. Praise God for that mystery. The Jewish people had everything. It seemed natural that they would come to know the Messiah as their Savior. They had the law. They had the temple. They had the promises. They had all of these things. And yet they had to come to Jesus Christ by faith and repentance in order to be saved. And then the Gentile people who were so far away from God that they didn't even know who the living God was, who were living all kinds of immoral lives, that those same people who seemed so far from God could also be saved and be made right with God by coming to know Jesus as Savior. The mystery reminds us of this. There's no one on the earth who God will not save if they call on the name of Jesus Christ and ask Him to save them. And so the Bible says we must take this message through the open door. A guy named Tim was going through the Baltimore-Washington International Airport. And as he was going through, he got pulled out for special security check by the TSA. And so he goes through the line. There's a guy standing there wearing one of those bright blue TSA uniforms. And Tim's trying at first to unzip the bags. And the man says, sir, please just step back and let me examine your bag. And so he's unzipping things, and the TSA agent is looking through. And as he's looking through, Tim notices that on the TSA agent's hand, he has a silver ring with a cross on it. And Tim says to him, hey, I like that ring. And the man, he's still going through Tim's luggage. He said, yeah, he said, I wear that ring because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then he said, you know, in my business, one of the things we worry about is dynamite. He said, the word dynamite comes from a Greek word that means power. This is the TSA agent sharing this. He said, the word dynamite comes from a Greek word that means power. He said, God is the one who has all the power. And I came to His Son, Jesus Christ, and asked Him to save me. And He saved me, and now I just serve Him every day, and He takes care of me as I serve Him. Then he zips up everything. He said, sir, your bag is cleared. You can go on. Now, Tim walked away, and Tim was already a believer, but here's what convicted him. Convicted him that this man, in a government job, had figured out a way in about 30 seconds to share the gospel, and that wasn't the first time he had done that. God can use you to do the same thing. Now, let me give you a caveat. Next time you go through TSA, don't talk about dynamite. Evidently, evidently they can do that, but you can't talk about that. But you can make a decision where you are to look for opportunities and to take the opportunities to take the message of Jesus through that open door. I'll show you one other thing and then we'll be done. Think about the manner with which we take the message through the open door. The manner by which we take the message through the open door. Look in verse 4. And here's what Paul was asking them to pray. That I may make it, it is the mystery of the gospel. That I may make the gospel clear, which is how I ought to speak. He says, pray for me that I'll make the gospel clear. That word clear means clear. That's just about the best word you can use for it. I was going to say manifest. That's not as clear a word as clear. But you know, a lot of times we make the gospel unclear by using words that just complicate things. Spurgeon said, Jesus commanded us, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He said, some pastors put the food up so high that the lambs and the sheep can't get it. He said, they must read the text, feed my giraffes. If you understand something, if you know it in your heart, you can make it clear. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to save you from your sins. If you call on Him, He will save you and give you life. That's the gospel. The only two-syllable word I used was Jesus. You can make it clear. In fact, the Bible says that's how we ought to speak. If you know it, if it's in your heart, you can make it clear. That's the manner by which we're to share the message. At the turn of the 20th century, Harry Houdini was world famous as an escape artist. They'd put him in a straitjacket, he could get right out of it. They'd put multiple handcuffs on his hands, he could escape. He said that no jail cell could ever hold him. But I'll tell you about one time he couldn't get out. They put him in the jail cell, walked away, and once he was by himself, Houdini did what he always did. He took off his belt, he pulled out a long, slender, strong steel rod, and he began to work that lock. He worked it, he worked it, he worked it. He could not get it to unlock. He used every trick he knew, and he knew a lot of tricks, but nothing that he could do would unlock that cell lock. Finally, after 2 hours of working, he called out and said, I can't do it. You're going to have to come get me out. And they came back in, and the man in charge walked up to the cell door, put his hand on the iron bars, just pulled it open. It had been unlocked the whole time. The only place where it was locked was in his mind. Jesus says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. The door, listen, the door is already unlocked. The door to reach your community for Jesus Christ is already unlocked. The door to reach that neighbor who just seems so hardened to the gospel and seems so opposed, that door is already unlocked. And what Jesus is waiting for us to do as we pray with open eyes for open doors, He's waiting for us to walk through those doors and take the good news of Jesus to the people around us. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You and praise You. We thank You so much for Your word. And Lord, I thank You for pastors in this room and for lay people in this room and for pastors' wives in this room. Lord, wherever You put us, may we pray with our eyes wide open for those open door opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. And Lord, some of us, in fact, I would believe that most of us here today have somebody on our heart. If we had a piece of paper, we could write down their name. Somebody that we know who needs to be saved. Lord Jesus, open their eyes, open their hearts, and open our lips to share the gospel with them. And then, Lord, if we don't have somebody, if we can't think of somebody's name right now, Lord, give us a name before this day's over, somebody we're praying for, somebody we're burdened for, somebody who needs Jesus. We give this day to You and we praise You for it. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.